Good morning, everyone. Always good to see everyone here. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us online for those that are with us online. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. We are in our series in the letter to the church of Colossae. So turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And this morning we're going to be in verses 20 through 23. Now, this section that we've been in for the last few weeks is Paul is reminding the church of the preeminence of Christ. But this morning I've entitled this message, verses 20 through 23, The Gift of Reconciliation. So if you need to put that in your notes, you can do that. One of the things that brings me great joy is to see something restored. It's just something in me that I just love to see something old become new again, or something broken become fixed. I really do. I love old homes. Does anyone like old homes? I mean, yeah, new homes are great. They're fantastic. But I love driving around and looking at old homes. I love going into any small town and then finding Main Street and then looking for the oldest homes there and driving around and looking at them. And I love watching old homes being restored. Now that's, I mean, some of you probably think, what, who, why? But it's just really cool. I mean, I remember as a kid watching This Old House. I mean, anyone ever watch that show? Okay, a few of us. Okay. But there's a ton of shows now, you know, on whether it's HGTV or DIY, whatever it is, to see all the steps that goes into restoring an old home. To bring something old back to life is just, that makes me happy. I love old cars. I love cars that have been restored. I love to see old downtown Main Streets restored and then people coming back down to a Main Street and shopping in it. I think that's so cool. During the lockdown, I had the pleasure of restoring my mother-in-law's late 1960s record cabinet that some of you probably remember if you're as old as me or older. And I am not a professional woodworker at all, by any means. But I love music, I love home audio, I love vinyl records, and it was just something that was really cool. And I just to see that brought back to life and now in my wife's and my bedroom and to be playing old records on it, it's cool. Again, I love seeing old becoming new. I love seeing broken becoming fixed. And this is why I'm completely overwhelmed when I witness a person's life saved by Christ. That is the ultimate restoration. The ultimate restoration. Death to life. Enemy of God to friend of God. Alien to part of God's family. The ultimate in restoration. You see, before the fall, God and man had an unbroken fellowship. But then, through Adam, sin entered the world and it broke that fellowship. Adam turned away from God, but the good news of the gospel, the good news is this, that restoration came. Reconciliation came through Christ at Calvary. Amen? Christ's death brought reconciliation between God and man and to those who believe. Christ's death lifted the curse of sin and canceled the condemnation of sin through the atonement made by Christ on the cross. Does that bring you joy? Yes. You see, the fall, when sin entered the world, affected all of creation. But Christ's atonement brought about restoration of the entire universe back into fellowship with God. That's one of those moments where I picture all of us jumping up and screaming and shouting and, you know, but I know we're a little more reserved, so that's okay. But I know you're doing it inside, right? This morning, as we look at the book of Colossians, at the letter of Colossians, Paul continues to point the church to the preeminence of Christ, to understanding what that is, reminding them of that. And he does that in these last three verses of this section by reminding the church of Christ's passion, by reminding the church of the gift of reconciliation. Look with me at verses 20 through 23. I'm going to read those. We're going to pray, and then we're going to jump into some really awesome verses here that I believe will give you, it'll make you want to stand up and shout. It'll also make you feel completely encouraged. It will remind you of who you were apart from Christ, and I believe it is the gospel so clear, and it is the gospel that can call sinners to be saved. Let's read verses 20 through 23. And this is what it says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we can find reconciliation. We can find restoration with you because of what Christ did for us on the cross, for his atonement, for his work on the cross. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us and sending your Son. Thank you that we have a way back to fellowship with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. I pray that it would speak mightily and powerfully to our hearts this morning. For those who are believers, it would bring peace and joy and encouragement. I pray that you would call people through the gospel this morning, in this place here, online, that you would make clear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you would call those to be saved. We love you, and we are excited to hear and jump into your word, which is truth, which is from you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we look at Christ's passion, as we look at this gift of reconciliation, the first truth that we see is that reconciliation, redemption, or the restoration between a believer and God came with a price. That's the first thing that Paul reminds us here in verse 20, that this gift of reconciliation came with a price. There was a cost to reconciliation. Look at verse 20 again. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." How many of you guys have ever received a gift? Probably every single person in this room, right? All of us have received gifts at some point in our life. Gifts are pretty amazing, right? They're awesome. It's, you know, whether it's a birthday, whether it's Christmas, whether it's just, you know, some random thing, everybody loves gifts. Why do we love gifts? Because we get something that we want or like or enjoy, and we didn't have to pay for it, right? I mean, that's why a gift is pretty amazing. And some of those gifts they're the coolest when they come when we don't expect it. Has everyone ever received a gift and you weren't even expecting to get that gift? I remember when I was going through seminary, we would travel down to Fort Worth and take classes, and so we would be in class for about 9 hours a day for a week. And so in the evenings, a group of guys that we traveled with and went down there, we would always go out to eat, and we'd go eat some decent food because it was like, it's what got us through that week as we sat in class for 9 hours listening to lectures. And so one evening, a group of six of us went out to eat, and I think it was Red Lobster, and we had a great time, we had great food, and when it came time to get the check, our waitress came by and she said, "Have a great evening. Your dinners have been covered by someone in the restaurant, and they want to remain anonymous." That was a great gift. That was an unexpected gift. But that gift cost somebody, right? It cost someone. It cost someone six Red Lobster meals and drinks and then their own meal in that restaurant. It cost somebody for that gift. For the believer, Salvation, reconciliation came with a price. Reconciliation has a cost. It had a cost. And we did not have to pay it, did we? We didn't have to pay it. Christ did that for us on the cross. Christ paid the price on the cross. Verse 20 says, through him, Christ, in order to reconcile to himself all things, he made peace with his own blood. Is Christ worthy of our praise? Absolutely. Because of our sin, we owed a debt. Our sin deserved death. Yet through Christ, those who are chosen and called by God are given a free gift of grace. Amen? Is anyone wanting to shout and stand up and shout with joy over their salvation? This gift of reconciliation between believer and God? If you need to remember who you are but apart from Christ or who you were, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, there's that word gift, the free gift, that means, you know what free means, right? You know what free means, okay. The free gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that verse. You should write Romans 6:23 in your notes. You should write it in your Bible, or you should put it somewhere in your phone, or whatever it is, because that verse is the gospel wrapped up in one verse. That's why we many have called that verse the one verse evangelism for years, because you could sit down with someone. Those of you that are nervous about sharing the gospel, teaching the gospel with that person that's on your heart or those people that are on your heart that you're praying for, just sit down and memorize that verse or put it where you can find it. You could sit down with anyone and present the gospel with that one verse. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve death because of our sin. We're all sinners, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We're born into sin. It came through Adam. We deserve death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sin deserves death, and it is a debt that we could never pay, yet Christ paid for it for sinners. He made peace, as verse 20 says, he made peace by the blood of his cross. He paid the debt and has given those who are called by him the free, there's that word, the free gift of reconciliation. I reminded us of that chorus a few weeks ago. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. We remember that that chorus. What an incredible gift. We're always asking us, like, why do we come here? Why do we sing these songs? It's because he is worthy of our praise. He gave us this gift. He paid the price for us. And so we honor him. We give him glory. We sing to him. We thank him. And we're just overwhelmed by what we deserved, yet he paid for that and gave us that gift through the cross, by his work. Let us not forget that this gift of reconciliation between fallen man and God came with a cost. And Jesus Christ paid for it with his life on the cross. As we move on in this passage, again, we are reminded of that gift of reconciliation came with a cost. And then Paul goes on in verses 21 and 22 and reminds us of our need for reconciliation. There is a cost to reconciliation, and there is a need, a desperate need for reconciliation. Look at verses 21 and 22. Let me read those to you again. It says this, and you, he's talking to the church, and you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Oh yeah, this is good news, right? This is good news. I'm not getting a lot of feedback. Anyone out there, are you guys awake? Is this good news? Okay, I'm seeing a lot of blank stares, and I'm wondering, do you guys realize how big this is and how good this is and how joyful this is? There was a cost. We deserved death. Yet God gave us a free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And now we're seeing that we desperately needed this gift. We needed reconciliation. And here we see and are reminded of this beautiful gift and just how desperate we were in need of reconciliation. What Paul gives us in these two verses is the gospel. He's given us the gospel right here. We are reminded in these two verses of man's depravity and the believer's deliverance. We are reminded of who we were before Christ or apart from Christ, and then our deliverance through Christ. And so what Paul does in verse 21 is he describes our depravity. Apart from Christ, we are alienated from God, which means we are outside of fellowship. We cannot fellowship with a holy God. We are outside of fellowship with God. Apart from Christ, we are enemies of God. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we forget that, especially if you grow up in the church or you grow up in the Bible Belt, you don't assume that you're an enemy of God. Well, we talk about religion. There's all these steeples in our church, in our town. You know, we talk about God, but we sometimes forget that before Jesus, before salvation in Christ, apart from Christ, we hate God. We're enemies of God. We are outside the fellowship. We are alienated. We are hostile towards God, and we are sinful, doing evil and wicked deeds. Why are we so surprised when lost people do evil things? Why does that surprise us? Oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing that. Because they're lost. They hate God. They're enemies of God. And so we pray for the lost. We shine the light of the gospel into this dark world. We go out in the hardest and toughest of times. And who are we? We are children of light, pointing them to truth. You see, apart from God, listen very carefully to this. Apart from God, we bear the fruit of sin. Our deeds reveal our sinful hearts. Guys, let me tell you something. You can hide behind church membership. You can hide behind your family going to church and you riding with them. You can hide by driving to church. You can hide by wearing Christian t-shirts. You can hide by carrying a Bible. You can hide by having a good talk about religious things. But our lives really do show who we are, right? We either bear the fruit of sin or we bear the fruit of a heart transformed by God. Are you hearing this? You get like, oh, I'm a Christian, and then your whole life looks like sin. Your heart shows who you really are. And I would ask and encourage you to look deeply into your life. What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? We either bear the fruit of sin or we bear the fruit of a heart transformed by God. For those apart from God, for those who are enemies of God, for those who are alienated from God, there is a need, a desperate need of reconciliation. And we've just seen that in verse 20. It is only through Christ that we can be reconciled to God. It is only through Jesus that we can ever have a life transformed by God. But when we are reconciled, when we are called out of death into life, when we respond in faith, what an amazing transformation we are given. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Look at verse 22. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. When God saves us through Christ, when we are given that free gift of grace and of reconciliation, believers, we are now presented before a holy God as holy and blameless and above reproach. This is amazing, right? Amazing grace. We try to put that word and we try to figure it out in our heads. This is amazing. Believers, okay? Here, listen to this, okay? You really need to hear this. If you've grown up in the church or if you know anything about religion, okay? Believers, in Jesus Christ. You are not holy and blameless because you went to a 10-step workshop on how to be holy and blameless, okay? You're not, okay? That's you can't go to a workshop and say, help me know how to be holy and blameless. You cannot do that. We are holy and blameless because of Christ alone. God does not look at me as a believer in Jesus and say, way to go, Chris. You've done a great job of getting your act together. No. What God looks at is his son's atoning sacrifice. What God looks at is what Christ did for us. All of who we are is because of Christ. Do you believe that? All of who you are as a follower of Jesus, all of everything who you are is because of Christ. It's because of our union with the crucified Christ. And you thought that was just the good news. There's more. But wait, there's more. There's more. It's right here. Are you seeing the gospel laid out in these verses? Who we are apart from Christ, our need for reconciliation and the gift of reconciliation, what Christ did for us on the cross, and as we stand before a holy God, we are given this holy and blameless above reproach because of Jesus, and God sees what Christ did for us. He sees Christ in us. But there's even more good news for believers. We are given the incredible gift of security. Of security. Look at verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Verse 23, we would call this the perseverance of the believer. Some have called this the security of the believer, but what Paul is reminding us in verse 23 is this. Hear this. True believers will persevere to the end. This is good news for the believer. This is something you should just be like, thank you. Yes, true believers. Now I say that, true believers, those that have been saved by Christ, true believers will persevere to the end. How many of us love to feel safe? Okay, Pat loves to feel safe. Nobody else loves to feel safe. We like living on the edge, man. I mean, yes, some of us love adventure. Some of us do crazy things because it's an adrenaline, but probably all of us at some point, we want to feel secure. And this is why our culture loves the ideas of warranties, right? I mean, that's why you check out on Amazon today, and my child is buying a $10 toy, and then there's the thing pops up, would you like to take the $5 warranty on this? Like, what do I need a warranty for this plastic toy? I mean, there's a warranty for everything, but we take them, we get them, because we want to feel safe. We don't want to have to worry about the stuff that we are buying, right? We don't want to have to worry about them breaking. And then if it does break, we don't want to have to worry about getting it fixed. We want someone else to do that. Lord, we have the warranty. I have a decently large family. I thought I had a large family for a while, and then I met my new friends, and there's larger families. But all my vehicles are used, okay? Everybody's vehicles used once you drive it off the car lot. But all my vehicles are very used, okay? Very used. Every single vehicle I own, has over 100,000 miles on it. Every single one. Amen. That's right. And none of them have warranties, which means I have stress over my vehicles at many different times through the year. Can you imagine going to buy a used car or a new car, and the dealership saying, hey, by the way, you get this car with a full warranty for the lifetime of the vehicle. No matter what happens, we will fix it free of charge every time as long as you own it. How would that make you feel? That'd make you feel great. It'd make you feel safe. I mean, you would feel like you could just drive that thing as hard as you wanted to, and brakes, you go get it fixed. You want some good news this morning? Believers? True believers, those who have been called by God, your salvation is secure. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. True believers, persevere. You are secure. And here's some more good news. Paul, he's like, if indeed you continue, it makes it seem like, well, I got to work really hard at this. We do have to fight. We do have to work out our salvation. We do have to work. If indeed you continue the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting. Okay, so here's some more good news. Believer, you have everything you need in Christ to persevere. Does that make sense? Okay, so true believers, your salvation is secure, and Christ has given you everything you need to not shift from the faith, to not fall away from the faith, to be stable and to be steadfast in the hope that of the gospel that you heard. And this perseverance that is in true believers is fruit that you are a true believer. Is some of that stuff kind of making sense? The perseverance that we have is fruit. And we will have fruit of a transformed life. And by not shifting, by not falling away, by not turning away, that is also fruit that you are a true believer. It's proof of a true child of God. Okay, and then you're asking, like, well, what about those people that leave the church? What about all these people that we're seeing? Like, well, I don't believe in God anymore. What about those things? Let me remind you of a verse that has helped me through the years. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. True believers persevere. Now we might ask, now I know you guys, I know myself, we might ask, well, what about seasons of sin? What about temptation? You know what? Yes, I believe Paul is warning the church here to fight. To keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Because when we don't fix our eyes on Christ, what do? We're like a ship or a boat on the ocean, and we're looking at the shoreline, and we're trying to get back to the shoreline, but the wind is pushing us hard, and as soon as we take our eyes off the shoreline, we kind of start doing something over here, we look up, and we're miles off course, right? So we're easily shifted and drift, we easily drift when we are distracted by the things of the world. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why Paul is warning them. He's saying, if indeed you continue in faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting. How do we not shift? We keep our eyes on Christ. We stay in the Word of God. We pray to Him. We surround ourselves by people that are challenging us to stay focused. We get involved in the body of Christ. I'm thankful for technology, but I'm praying that God allows churches to be back together because we need each other, right? We don't need to be stuck in our homes by ourselves online. We need the church. We need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Because when we don't, Paul says, we shift from the hope of the gospel that we heard. There's a lot of lies out there. It's just lie after lie, deception after deception. That's what Satan does. He's the great deceiver. He's feeding us lies. And if we start listening, if we don't know the truth, then we just go, well, I don't know what I believe, you know. If we know God's word, we've got to stay in God's word. We drift from the truth that we heard. How many of us as believers have shifted or drifted for a season? But God brought you back. God convicted you. And you are focused on Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit in our lives that convicts us. So Scripture here brings about some deep questions for us. And I didn't put my slide up. Hard questions with Chris, but these are hard, okay? These are hard questions. Are you ready? I'm looking at eyes. I can't see. I'm looking at the camera. I can't see the overflow rooms. These are hard questions. And you're going to have to answer them. Now you can start thinking about something later. You can you can look down at your phone right now and you can check text and Facebook and social media, whatever you want to do. You can avoid these questions or you can hear them and deal with them. Question one is, are you bearing the fruit of Christ? Or are you bearing the fruit of sin? Are you a believer that has drifted from the truth of the gospel? Have you fallen into sin because of neglect or temptation? And you need to repent today and focus your eyes on Christ? Or are you an enemy of God, living a life of evil deeds, lost, dead in your trespasses? Are you an enemy of God with no fruit of Christ in a transformed life? Do you have the fruit of sin in your life? You know what your life looks like. Our lives show us what we're like. Another question is this: are you being called by the Holy Spirit because you are in desperate need of reconciliation, which only Christ can bring? And if you are being called, if you feel the call on your life, do not resist any longer. Don't resist any longer. Accept His grace. Accept His forgiveness. Accept His transformation. Accept His gift of reconciliation so that you can stand before a holy God. And what does He see? He sees you holy and blameless and above reproach. Isn't that a great gift? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when you are saved by Him, saved by Christ, given that gift of grace, guess what? Your salvation is secure. It's secure. He will never leave you. That is great news. Verse 23 is a call to persevere, to continue in this faith, steadfast and stable, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Are you thankful for Christ? Yes. Are you thankful for the gift of reconciliation, to be brought into fellowship with Him because of Jesus? Realize that that gift came with a cost. And who paid it? Jesus. We are born into sin and we have a need for that reconciliation. And only Jesus can bring that. And then when we are saved, we will persevere to the end. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So powerful for the believer to be reminded of the sacrifice and the cost, and to be reminded of our need for reconciliation, to be reminded of the incredible gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ. And this word is so powerful to the lost as you call sinners to be saved. I pray that they would hear this message, they would hear the gospel that you would call to them, that they could be forgiven, made clean, presented to you as holy and blameless and above reproach. Thank you for Jesus. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray.